This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Heading out to Vegas a little bit later on today. Yeah, we're going to be broadcasting live from Circa for Ultimate Contest Weekend. We've been telling you about it for well over a month now. Survivor Contest, the Circa Millions, which is picks against the spread. We've got a team this year, right? We've got a squad. Bink's been blowing up my phone already about it, which it's going to be a long football season, but in a good way. Bink is locked in. He's going to come in around 12:30 today. Dusty's part of the Circa Millions entry. Cody, obviously. Myself, Speck. Rob Redden. So we've got a good crew. We'll be arguing all season about which five picks a week to make, and we'll be blaming everybody for getting one wrong. It'll be fun. It'll provide us some good content.
Well, I'm not going to send you the ones too. I hate. I'm just going to
send
you the
ones I like.
You'll
send me the ones you believe in, but there'll be some disagreement at some point. Dusty will convince us that, you know, Cincinnati -6.5, and we're going to say no, and then it'll happen. Dusty will then talk for 2 hours straight about how he was right. It'll be content. He's nodding his head. He agrees.
This is how it works.
Yes.
We're a team.
Yeah, it'll
be fun,
like
a team.
It'll be fun.
What is it? Do we decide? Do we get to just choose our team name?
I think I talked with Speck about, I think the entry name, like it, on air, we can call whatever, but like the actual official entry name is just going to be like the Fan 965 or something. Like you actually have an official entry name. Yeah.
But that's like, that's so, it's a corporate.
Do we want us to,
I feel like we should combine our names into something ridiculous, you know?
I mean, the people that won Survivor or Spread last year were called the Meatball Brothers.
Team Ramrod.
Team Ramrod. The Meatball Brothers, you know, because meatballs go pasta la vista. Vinny keeps hitting them out, so does Jack Caglione.
Are we the Barbecue Brothers? Is that what we're going with? Is that what we're switching
the
it
barbecue
up?
Barbecue Brothers. Yeah,
switch it up. Dusty can be the, I'm trying to think. We can
easy.
Go. Yeah, I was. I
see that look in your eye.
Yeah, I decided to refrain.
What were you going to say? Go ahead and say it.
No, I was thinking something tied to, Lee Summit Sportsman of the Year or something, Dusty Likens.
Well, whenever you're Shawnee Mission's Man of the Year.
I'm not in Shawnee Mission.
Overland Park?
You used to hate when I said that you were Lee Summit Sportsman of the Year, which is a good thing. I meant in a positive way, and you used to get mad.
Yeah, I can hear the smartass in your voice. That's why.
Even now.
This soft, well, you were the Sportsman of the Year. Now you're like, you know what? Hey, man, you're the Sportsman of the Year.
Be proud, man. Be proud. Anyway, okay. It's going to be fun. We appreciate it.
All right, here I go.
See ya. Dusty hangs around so much. You would think like he's been up since 4 a.m. Like, dude, he just Dusty can't get
my
enough.
Friends. I get
Dusty
to get hot takes with Drew.
He can't. Yeah.
I get to see what Max gonna do for the future.
Yeah. Max in there. He's locked in. Max focused.
He's not locked.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah. He's waving.
Sitting
there
with
you
one
go.
Leg under the other.
Yeah.
Mac also sporting a K-State polo, so all the listeners can
Whoa.
Can be happy at Mac.
Wow. He's in a good mood. His wife's birthday was yesterday.
He's
fiance's
Tennessee
birthday,
fan.
I should say. Future wife, fiance. He's in a good mood today. Anyway, you guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965.
Might as well start with the Royals, a team whose winning streak continued yesterday after a, you know, solo home run in the first. You're like, hey, you know, against them, you're like, hey, maybe it's going to happen. No, then, of course, the same guys who continue to blast home runs for the Royals do it. Vinny, Yaz, seemingly the same couple of guys every night coming through. Seth Lugo bounced back in a huge way. Let's talk about the team for a minute.
Yeah.
Because the Lugo news might be the biggest out of the game yesterday as far as their ability to try to get in a playoff spot, now just 2.5 games back. There was a huge chunk of this year I didn't think this Royals team had this kind of run in them. And to the Royals' credit, I think in a lot of ways, Gold, they kept telling us and kept trying that if they just had any kind of qualified offense, 6, 7, 8, and 9, the rest of the offense would look different. This team can hit. There is some talent. There is some movement. And they thought India and Vinny and Bobby and Salvi and Michael, this was going to work. This was going to be a good offense like last year. And because they couldn't hit, they're the worst offense in baseball until July 1st. Or the second worst offense in baseball until July 1st. Somehow just having a couple of qualified hitters, just Adam Frazier, Mike Yastrzemski, and a few other guys who can get on base occasionally. And now what? They're just going to hit like this every night? It turns out if you score 5 runs a night for 6 straight weeks, you'll win a lot of games.
Yeah, it's that simple, right? It is that simple. I mean, the contrast in what they've been able to do power-wise, too, I think is the other element. You know, look, last year it wasn't like they were a top 5 home run team in baseball or anything like that, but they had the second fewest home runs of any team in baseball before the All-Star break. And
now they're hitting like 1.5 home runs a game.
Now they have the 6th most post All-Star break. They've hit 46 post All-Star break. They had 73 before the break.
It's probably important to note that it's not that just the normal stuff, right? Where you'd assume that everyone's hitting home runs. No, they're giving up the same amount of home runs per game as they were in the first half. So like their pitching staff isn't giving up any more or less than they were before. They're giving up the normal amount of home runs they were giving up this entire time. Yep. They just started hitting them.
Yeah. So someone said they're still last in the AL in home runs run scored. Again, but
we got to take that aside.
Post All-Star break. What happened in April and May, now truly from an offense perspective, doesn't matter anymore from what we're just like this conversation that we're having.
That's why they're not in the playoffs.
Why are they now 2.5 games back? And why are they the hottest team in baseball? Because the offense post All-Star break has the second, the 6th most home runs. We all know the offense stunk prior to that. That's the point. Is what has shifted? What's the difference been? So yeah, overall being towards the bottom in offense, yeah, that's well recognized. But that doesn't really matter at this point. It's how are they playing now and down the stretch, and can they keep this up, and what the shift has been. But thank you.
I will say, like, this is how I know the Royals are back in the mix. Like, you can take them very serious, right? Like, for all the conversations we've had, they are a very serious playoff contender. They got a lot of work left to do. Still 2.5 games back. They still have to continue to play well. Other teams still have to continue to play bad, etc. But yesterday, for the first time since probably April, I got 2 tweets at me that were the, yeah, well, they're just going to go to the playoffs and lose in the first round. I'm like, all right, we're back.
Yeah, we're back.
We are back because you are mad about a team being in the playoffs and then not performing to your expectation level, not being in the playoffs, which is a good place to be. And you have reminded, the amount of times the Royals have been in the playoffs in back-to-back years is so minuscule and pretty much non-existent in our life outside of 14 and 15 that it doesn't exist for this team. I will take back-to-back playoff appearances after you start turning the franchise around. I'll take that, even if it means they come up short because they have a chance if they go.
Yeah, well, they have a chance to get in, and then we'll see what happens, obviously, at that point in time. But they have a ton of work still to do, but the way they are playing is, once again, going to give them a shot to make it into the postseason. And their offense is playing well enough to get them to that spot to where we could be talking about them in the final week of the season being in a playoff spot and either occupying it or within a half game or something like that. That is a realistic possibility now. Their overall percentage to get in is still below 25%. It's not like it's jumped up to now they got a 50-50 shot or something. We're still way below that. I'm not trying to act like now they're for sure making the playoffs or anything. They just have positioned themselves and they're playing like a team that could give themselves an opportunity into the final week of the season to be in a playoff spot. The postseason stuff, yeah, I don't understand the argument around that. You know, we've talked about this. This is not the Pittsburgh Steelers where they've been in the playoffs for 8 straight years and you're like, all right, enough of getting there.
We're not going to finally cash
enough
in.
Of getting, like, I get why a Steelers fan would say, I don't care if we make the playoffs and lose in the wild card round every year. They've been doing it for 8 years in a row. When the Royals make the postseason 4 straight years and we're sick of them getting eliminated before the ALCS, then we can we can have a conversation. If they make the postseason for 2 or 3 years in a row and we're sick of them getting eliminated divisional round weekend, okay, or a week, that is more than fair. Not after one playoff appearance am I going to say, well, they haven't been to a World Series in anyway, so it doesn't matter. They didn't get to one last year, so it doesn't matter. That's just crazy. That's not how this works.
It's just hard because since 2014, man, that's the only thing Kansas City fans know. Casey Current went to the championship game. The Royals went to a World Series, won a World Series. The Chiefs have been to a gajillion and won Super Bowls. That's why you've been warped by not normal fandom, and that's a good thing for that rate. I did look it up on FanGraphs. They have I want to point out that they had him at like 5% 2 weeks ago.
All right.
So 2 weeks ago, I went on FanGraphs and they had the Royals at like a 5% chance to make the postseason. They now today have them at 24.1% chance to make it. But that's a huge swing.
Well,
now, they're still saying it's only a 1 in 4 chance that they'll actually get there and have a chance. They've got the Red Sox still at 70% chance. So what they're telling you is they're giving them, you know, 3 out of 4 chances to make, and they're giving you 1 out of 4. So the good news is Red Sox are off today. You can make up a half game for free. The Mariners play today at noon. That's another team you're 2.5 games back. And then the Yankees and Red Sox face off against each other this weekend. And in which case, by the way, because the Yankees schedule is much easier, this is a fairly simple answer. You are a Yankees fan this weekend. You want them on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to hammer Boston. You want them to take all 4 games, Gold, and not even question it. If you lose one of the 3 teams you can chase in the wild card, but that team gets beat up by the Yankees, so be it. But again, I think the playoff stuff has warped it. Now, to your point, the Seth Lugo news. You and I said it. 3 bad starts in a row, 2 awful starts in a row. We both called for it on the show yesterday. Like, they need him to come back and show the old Seth Lugo. He's saying it's not an injury. Pitch like it. And last night, when he gets into the 7th, only allows 2 earned runs, left the team with a lead. That was the biggest development in the entire game. Had he pitched like that and they'd still lost, I would have felt better about the Royals today. Not than them winning, but like better about the Royals today because they needed Seth Lugo.
No, the most important thing down the stretch from a pitching element is not only getting Cole Reagans back, but getting Seth Lugo to show that he's not completely done for the season in terms of being able to be an effective starting pitcher and not have 3 outings in a row of 7 earned runs. He gave up a couple solo home runs yesterday. Solo home runs, you know, that usually not going to hurt you if you're going to be effective otherwise. And that was the case. That was a real, real positive. And I agree, as much as the win is great because you saw a team like Boston and Seattle both lose yesterday and you win. So it's once again, not just that you're 2.5 games back, but the fact that you're 2.5 games back of 2 of the wild card spots. And then you're still 3.5 of the top wild card spot. That's the best news. But individually, yeah, it's Seth Lugo showing that, okay, whether it is just one-offs, whether this is the one-off, now we're going to find out the next start. But that was a massive positive for the likelihood that he's going to be able to give you quality outings down the stretch of the season.
Did we ever find out if that local dispensary is ready to do the free pre-roll because the Royals are on a roll? Remember when we
did not. We did not.
That?
They have to win 13 in a row for that to happen.
The Royals are on a high. You can be too.
That's right. If the Royals win 12
Royals
in a row.
Royals are riding high. You can.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. Please, somebody.
We
somebody
offered it up
this.
Last week. The problem is now trying to convince someone when they've won 5 in a row, they're getting a little nervous.
Slightly riskier. That's a fair point, you know? A little bit riskier in the game. But yes, the Seth Lugo news, because there's still a chance this team gets better in 10 days. In 10 days, they can add Cole Reagans, maybe a little bit before that. They can decide on Michael Massey. And then they could also hypothetically add Jack Caglione. Is it, at the very least, let's just say a bench bat. Because of September call-ups. Because he did hit another home run in the minors yesterday. He's now hitting 500 with 3 homers. So, like, he's hitting in AAA enough that even if he was a, let's say, part-time player for you, Gold, that's a lot of bench presence for a player as a righty bullpen guy in there for a chance to slug it over. This team has some additions still coming to the squad. Lugo looks sharp. And I was genuinely starting to get worried. And I'm not worried to the point that people who are already calling the deal bad or thinking that they should regret having signed it. But this has got to be the best you felt about the Royals since what? They won. Well, they're 13-15 or 15-17, whatever the hell it was in like May.
I think it's the first time they've been 4 above .500 since May 20th or something like that, or May 25th, something like that.
God, they have been just a .500 baseball team the whole year, haven't they?
And they had one good stretch. And then now they're hopefully in the middle of their second really good stretch of the season. We're going to find, I mean, they're in the middle of it. I'm not even just talking winning streak, truly stretch. This is the stretch that you're hoping to have as you head into, you know, September and obviously into October. Let's see how long this thing can last. And they're doing it against a Rangers team. That's why it's important too. Rangers team that's not playing well now, but you're keeping them down while they're not playing well. You're playing your best baseball of the year, and you've kind of knocked them out of the picture. You're not competing with them after this series is done. You're not competing with them anymore, I don't believe, for one of the wild card spots. It's you, Cleveland, obviously the Yankees, Mariners, and the Red Sox. And that also makes the task a little bit easier down the stretch. But it's still the same scenario today. Can you win today so you ensure a series win versus losing today and then the Rangers have a chance to salvage a split and then you didn't make up the kind of ground that we're all hoping you can make up. So today's a big one because you can then really set yourself up, make it six in a row, and all of a sudden we're talking about a sweep on a Thursday afternoon.
Because the Red Sox don't play, if you get the win today, you will only be two games back of a playoff spot. Red Sox can't do anything. Mariners will know by 3 o'clock whether or not you're making up any ground on them or losing ground on them. But yeah, it's been a huge week because the teams you need to lose are losing and you're winning. And so, yeah. And then not to even to mention, then you get the little like, oh, just a quick reminder last night that Bobby Wood Jr. is one of the best baseball players on the planet. Not just because of the home run.
Will win throw to first. Nope, and there goes Yastrzemski, and there goes the ball to deep center. Back goes Carter, away back to the wall, and gone, Bobby Witt Jr.
Home run number 100 becomes the youngest Royal to hit 100 career home runs. Just the fourth player in history with 100 homers, 100 stolen bases in his first four MLB seasons. While he's not putting up the same numbers in a year last year where he would have won MVP 9 out of 10 years if it wasn't for Aaron Judge, his numbers are still ridiculous this season. He's just not at the MVP level as a season ago.
Oh, he's just like the sixth best or fifth best player in the sport instead. Darn. You know that there are only like five players in the entire sport who have a better F war than Mikel Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr. being one of them. So Bobby Witt Jr. is already having one of the five best seasons in baseball this year. It just seems pedestrian normal to him. But when he became the youngest Royal to hit 100 home runs and the fourth player in history with 100 and 100 stolen bases in the first four seasons, it was just a reminder because, like, I think every once in a while you kind of forget because you get numb to the greatness. It's like Mahomes. You get kind of numb to it, and then you hear stats and you're like, I'm sorry, who are the only four players besides him in Major League Baseball that have 100 home runs and 100 stolen bases in their first four seasons? You're like, oh, it's like Barry Bonds and, like, some of the greatest five-tool players in baseball history. Well, that's pretty cool, I guess. It was just a reminder that they continue to have.
Bobby Bonds, I think.
Or Bobby Bonds. They continue to have two of the best players in the sports, right? Like in all of baseball and all of football, they have two of the best players in each of their sports. And that's, I don't want to get tired of that, I guess, if that makes sense. I don't. That
and he's going to have to,
we'll never get to say that again.
While they, during the stretch, why they have the six most home runs of any team post All-Star break, why the offense is averaging 5.25 runs per game. He, of course, is central to that entire thing. And the last two nights, they've been doing it without Salvador Perez. Hopefully he's back. You know, he's dealing with it. They're calling it an illness. If he's out for a third straight day, then do you start to get a little more worried about what's actually going on? Like 2 days, okay.
Carter Jensen's about to be up here.
Two days, okay. But the fact they've been able to win while Salvi's not even out there, that's, you want him out there. They need him out there, of course, if they're going to make the playoffs and everything. But it's nice to see they're able to put together a couple wins while their captain is dealing with what they're calling an illness.
Again, it matters a lot for that. And this is where, like, you took the risk in trading away Freddie Freeman because that is the kind of player that you would probably talk less about being gone during this time versus Luke Maley, where you're like, well, I'm going to maybe notice that a little bit more. Have you seen, by the way, Freddie Freeman, since he's been traded, has been
incredible. They love him in San Diego. You knew their fans would end up loving him anyway, just because of his personality and, in terms of how he plays the game and everything. But he's been very important to them.
Since being traded.
So is Ryan O'Hearn. I know. For the Padres have Ryan O'Hearn and Freddie Freeman now.
Since being traded, Freddie Freeman is hitting .318 with a .348 on base, an over .800 slug. And you're like, what? Freddie, this goes back to the whole point. Teams value catching, and Freddie kind of deserve a chance to run his own team, be in charge, be the starting catcher every night. But that's largely because Salvi's been healthy. I'm not worried about it yet. You're right. If for, and I don't think they put the lineup out yet, but when they put the lineup out, if
my guess is he's in the lineup tonight, my guess is he's back tonight. Otherwise, it becomes more of a conversation. We'll talk some more Royals baseball throughout the show today. Coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll discuss Isaiah Pacheco and some of the expectations around him. But yesterday we had Danon Hughes on the show. We, of course, were talking to the former Chiefs wide receiver about the wide receivers and how he views the room this year versus 2024.
The jury's still out for me, and that's an honest assessment. One, we haven't played multiple games together. Like, we can look at last year and get a snapshot of what could have been, but we didn't have Hollywood Brown early in the season. When we finally got him back, he wasn't necessarily 100%. We didn't have Rashee Rice. I think they are capable, and Andy Reid has said it. This team, this wide receiving group is capable of being the best he's ever coached. That's a tall task and high praise. But I still have to see it. Like, to me, we haven't seen them in the preseason games. We haven't seen them assembled together. We haven't seen them all healthy. It's tough to look at the Legion of Zoom that won that Super Bowl in the 2019 season and say that this group is better, but I'm waiting to see that. Because they had a different complement. Obviously, with Tyreek Hill, you had Sammy Watkins that was a more bigger physical receiver. Like, I think that dynamic was different, but I'm excited about this wide receiving crew. If they can stay healthy and Patrick Mahomes has the confidence in him like he did with them, it's going to be something special.
So that was Danon yesterday, and I think everybody's waiting to see for the first time ever, I mean, truly ever, Brown, Worthy, and Rice in a regular season game, in a meaningful game, all on the field. We just haven't seen it.
It feels like...
So the jury being out, it makes sense.
That's the problem, is that I think it's easy to just lean into, I've seen all three of them play, I know what they play like when they play, but we genuinely have no clue what they play like together. Worthy and Hollywood got barely any time together. Rice and Worthy got barely any time together. The three of them got zero time together at any one point. We don't talk about it as being an unknown the same way we talk about, like, the offensive line. It's a... Because the players are not necessarily an unknown, but them as a unit is.
Yeah. Now, look, I'm sure you as well. I do think it'll be something that ends up working out very nicely for them if all three are ever on the field for more than just a game at a time. Like, I don't know exactly what it means, exact production for Hollywood Brown when he's also on the field with Worthy. And do they cancel each other out at all? Rice, we know the offense for 4 weeks last year when it was him and Worthy. Now, Worthy was still early in his rookie year. You know, we know what the offense, they want to run it through Rice. What we don't know is when Rice is at his full ability, and now that we're in year two of Worthy, in particular, I'm talking about those two. Even like Hollywood, I think he's a very nice complimentary piece to be in the receiver room as a number three. What we don't know is if Rice is fully healthy and available, what's he like with Worthy in year two? Because Rice and Worthy both were available week one last year, and I know Worthy had a touchdown against the Ravens, but that was...
Worthy was a rookie.
They were still using... That was off a jet sweep, wasn't it? Or a jet touch pass or something like that. Now that Worthy has developed into more of a full-on wide receiver as the season went on last year, what's that look like? That's something we just don't know, and I'm curious how they use him. We know they wanted to take shots down the field. They just didn't connect last year.
I think a lot of it goes down to, like, this team feels like it has more unknowns than previous years. Like, the only knowns I feel like are the right side of the offensive line. The defensive line, for the most part, I would argue is a known. How many sacks they'll get is a little unknown, but the players are known. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, maybe the running backs. Like, outside of that, what do I know? Like, I'm a Holmes, but I wasn't even going to bother bringing him up in that category. Like, the rotation in the corners feels a little bit different than before. Not individual players, but, like, I don't totally know what the safety group's going to look like without Justin Reed and what that's going to look like with Jaden Hicks. I don't really know what the Fulton, McDuffie, where he's going to play combo looks like. And I don't know what their plan was, these three wide receivers together as a complement on a field together. It could have been a good plan. I don't know that it was a good plan. They like that plan enough to run it back and see if that plan would work again. But a lot of that is just, we've never seen it. We have never seen those three players on the field together at the same time, healthy and playing, and especially now that Worthy's got an entire year of seasoning to go with it, then we know even less. Like, it's
the way that they're talking about it, too, is because they've interviewed, like, Rashee's been asked about it, and Xavier's been asked about it, and they've both been on record of saying, we're going to be something to watch this year. Like, get your popcorn ready, essentially. Mm-hmm. Not to say that that's added to the expectation or added to the pressure, if you even want to call it that, but if they're all healthy, based on the way they're talking about it, they should be a top five offense, point blank and period, and anything less is just a disappointment the way that they're talking about it.
Assuming that the left side of their line is not a disaster. Assuming it is at least average.
I don't think it should matter with Patrick Mahomes, but sure.
I mean, the left side is just a really tough place. And most teams know this. This is why left tackles are hard to find, or why Cincinnati signed Orlando Brown, or the Chiefs traded for Orlando Brown, and all these teams. You know?
Yeah, I don't know if we can say it doesn't matter. I mean, we watched last season play out. I mean, I think it absolutely factors into your peak level of offense. Not necessarily, they won 15 games with it being a problem, if that's your point, but from an actual, what's the numbers look like, points per game, therefore, are they a top five or a top 10 offense? I absolutely think if Josh Simmons is the real deal, or if Kingsley figures out left guard or not, it is a huge part of the equation.
Well, I think it's a big part of them, and just in terms of the overall success and how many points they should score. But I'm saying mediocre to poor poor left tackle play shouldn't be what ends up killing Patrick Mahomes' ability to make plays when he's got a full complement of wide receivers. Like, if everybody's fully healthy, he should still be able to do his thing and make plays that put him back on the map, if you will, from a national perspective.
In particular, if Rasheed Rice is on the field, and we don't know if it's
not missing six games.
Four, six, 8, 10, 12, we don't know.
Do this summer reporting is going to miss some. He asked for two.
Well, hence why they're
asked for 10.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like,
so, okay, let's split it again. It's just basically six games. Let's just be done with it, please. Let's move on.
It was one of those, I was asking around a little bit too. I'm like, hey, is there an example of a player that maybe I haven't seen before? And they did have, like, I guess Rice's camp did cite one for a player that you've never heard of. And he
only
got,
wanted two games.
I know. Well, the player that you've never heard of got one and got a felony charge. And so, to the point, it feels like he's being good player, good team taxed. Okay, this player sped, got in an accident, caused paralysis for a person, and got a felony conviction. He didn't flee the scene of the crime.
Now, the player that you're referencing, though, was that player cut by his team or not? Like, is it that low of a player?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the other part. He got cut by the team. We're talking about probably a seventh string, or not seventh string, a seventh wide receiver. Seventh wide receiver.
But if you're Rice's camp, you get to say,
no,
players are not, you don't punish players because they're bigger
names. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just curious what the circumstance is for that. And if the team cut him, that also might be why the suspension was less for that player. I don't know. I'm still convinced he's not getting 10 or 12 games.
I think he's getting six.
I think it's going to, if he's asking for two and they're way off, five to seven, six to eight, that's the range.
Isn't that where the league has kind of dug themselves a hole, though, where all of a sudden it's case-by-case basis, and now one guy got one game, but, hey, he wasn't that good. He didn't make the team, so it's totally different where this person, it feels like it is a true case-by-case basis, and
I'm actually fine with it being case-by-case because I do think they are all different. I'm basing off what you said. Did that player also injure somebody? Was that player
yes?
Did he leave the scene of the accident?
The part I said he didn't.
Said he caused paralysis, Cody. Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're not. That's why it has to be case by case because
Brandon
each thing is
Echols,
different.
He was a player for the Jets in 2023. He received a one game suspension for violating it. He caused a two car crash that included partially paralyzing one of the people in the accident. He was allegedly traveling not as fast, but traveling 25 miles over the speed limit when he caused the accident, and he got one game. He also received a felony 2023. He also received a felony conviction as a part of his plea. So his argument, Rice's camp, is this guy pretty... I didn't drive as fast.
And he didn't leave the scene of the accident.
So is it one game for every 10 miles an hour faster I drive?
I know, but...
And he didn't leave the scene of the accident. It's two and not
it's
one.
It's one felony versus two, so we don't know. But this is why I don't think it's 12.
That's a closer comp.
Yeah, for sure. And this is why I six makes a lot of sense.
So... I don't know. Who knows what the NFL will do? We're just going to have to wait around. We won't know until the end of September.
All right, up next, not only do I have a suggestion for a show bet, I have a show bet suggestion that involves all three of us with a guaranteed payoff.
Oh.
Guaranteed payoff on this show, and the listeners could be winners or losers depending on how you want to view it. I'll explain the situation. Plus, what's a good year look like from one Isaiah Pacheco? That's coming up here on next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
96.5 The Fan. Just getting started here on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold. Don't forget, coming up on Friday, August 29th, that's a week from this Friday, Mitch Holthus, Dane and Hughes hosting a Chiefs or a Red Roundtable over at Hollywood Casino. It's free and open to the public. Got to be 21 or older to enter. It's a nice Q&A plus a meet and greet. Hang out with Dane and Hughes and Mitch Holthus for the Red Roundtable at Hollywood Casino.
Should be a great time. Yeah. Obviously, they got the really nice sports book out there. Friday happens to be a... next Friday, that'll be the week before the season starts. Get your futures bets in, maybe? Oh,
yeah. I got a college football parlay
NFL
for you
season?
Guys.
College football
for
parlay.
Next weekend or for this weekend?
For the season.
Oh, so conference champion type of stuff and CFP type of stuff.
So it's not exactly conference champions.
Gotta place just ticket while I'm there?
It's just win totals.
Okay. Local win totals?
It includes.
If it makes me follow Coastal Carolina, I'm already.
It includes two locals, but I know you're not.
He has
to
the
like
one
this.
Where it's like some team over under 1.5 wins or something.
Oh, sicko behavior! What do you got?
Yeah, go
New
ahead.
Mexico 2+ wins.
Right away.
Illinois 8+ wins. K-State 7+ wins. Memphis 7+. Miami of Ohio 5+. Okay. Duke 6+. Baylor 5+. Missouri 6+. Southern Miss 4+.
But you're parlaying them all together?
Correct.
What's that win for?
Are you betting them separately as well?
I got a $50 free bet, and
it's a free bet, so I won't hate.
50 to win 509.
Okay, it's a free bet, so I won't hate on it. Otherwise, I'm like, will you bet it individually? Because you're going to be mad if you got all of them but one.
Oh, yeah, that would suck.
That's all the odds I'm getting on that?
It's because he's taking the juice.
It's because it wins.
He's not doing the exact over-unders. He's not, yeah. So some of them are -400 to win over five games or something.
Yeah, like K-State's over-under is 8.5. I have them winning 7+. So they can win 7.
Okay.
So
I was like, wait.
I don't like it. I just don't like it.
I don't mind it.
I am.
Season long. Here's my philosophy. Here's why I don't like it. Here's why I don't like it. And this is fine. This is my personal preference. I don't like doing a bet that takes 4 months to cash and I'm only getting +1, whatever you said.
He's getting 10 to 1. Or 15 to win 500.
I'm getting 10 to 1.
You are getting 10 to 1. Okay,
yes.
That's a little bit better. Typically, though, like even that is tough.
That's
like,
right at the range
if
of where
I'm waiting, 4 months to get 10 to 1 odds on a $50 bet.
Okay. I'd almost rather just bet a player to 5 to 1 to hit a homer tonight. All right, Bobby, you know, Vinny plus 470 to hit a homer.
Okay.
And just saying whatever. But I'm like, not saying some
of those won't. I'm not saying some of those won't hit.
It's just the one where if New Mexico wins one game and I lose, I would be frustrated.
For sure. Thinking of.
Do they have to win them early? Is it like that time Kansas is over under? Yes.
I think New Mexico's got to get they got to get both of them early. That might be the quickest one to win, but
Jesus,
also
their first game's against Michigan.
Yeah, like, they'll lose that one. But then Idaho State after that.
It's a free bet, so I will.
I walked into the Lobos.
I won't
this
hate
year.
As much because you have a $50 free bet. Thinking of bets, we'll get to one idea that I have for the show.
Okay.
Based on something you said yesterday that we found downstairs.
Oh, okay.
And you guys were trying to get me to make a bet with Carrington, and I have a much better idea of one that is.
I'm worried about this.
Just for this show. That ties into stuff we've talked about. I'll explain in just a little bit. But let's talk about Isaiah Pacheco a little bit and what you guys would consider to be a great year, good year, bad year for Pacheco. I think he looks great, by the way, in preseason. I think he has his burst back a little bit. He's fully recovered
he
from
never
that
looked right last year.
From the ankle injury. Yeah. So last year was disappointing. He only played in 7 games, 310 yards. We know the year prior to that, he had 935 yards in 14 games. And in his rookie season, he played in 17. He started 11 of them and he had 830. He still is only 26 years old. I think a great season for him involves him having over 1,100 yards from scrimmage. So
similar to 2 years ago when he finished with 1,179.
Yeah, I would sign up for that right now.
And how many touchdowns did he have in that game? 9 touchdowns between receiving and rushing.
I would love that kind of season. That'd be a great year for Isaiah Pacheco. It also bode well for him in free agency next year, too.
We keep talking about all the wide receivers. What I'm trying to decide is how important is Isaiah Pacheco to their offensive success this year? And I think we underplay it sometimes because Andy Reid loves the pass. I think a great year would be like 1,200. Yeah, I mean, I'm not way above you, but that would be a great year. Anything under 1,000 all-purpose, I'm going to be a little disappointed in. He's in the final year of his rookie deal. He's still 25 years old. He is the lead back of what should be an offense that scores. And to tell you the truth, he has pretty much no competition. He's one of maybe 4 backs in the NFL. That is a lead back without question a lead back, right? How many guys, how many do you think lead backs in the NFL are there with no competition to the guy at number two who takes 35%?
You're saying solo, the guy is in it for
every they're going to get 80% of the snaps as the running back this year.
Probably it's five like, or less in the league?
Yeah, it's like Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley. I'm not even sure it's Christian McCaffrey anymore based on his injury stuff.
That might be it, actually.
The end? Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, there's a couple of them, but there aren't that many. He's not running up against somebody in the two spot. If their offensive line is supposed to be better, at the very least, I think Kingsley can run block. If their offensive line is supposed to be better, it's 1,200 yards for me for a great season. Anything over 1,000, I will accept. Anything below that's going to come off as disappointing. I will add one other thing, though. That it's not a stat we follow a lot, but I also think it'll be indicative of how well they're moving the ball. He's got to be better than 4 yards a carry. He was 4.9 his rookie year, his 4.6 his second year. Last year, he averaged 3.7 yards a carry. Kareem Hunt averaged like 3.5 yards a carry. I think that was a bigger detriment to their offense than we want to admit. Their inability to block and their inability to get any yardage on first and second down made third down harder for them last year. Well, if he can average 4.5 yards a carry, that's where I think everything on the offense gets easier. That is a stat sure. I care for to his success this year.
Does that mean that they run the ball more? I know the yards per carry doesn't necessarily matter, but hearing Kingsley's really solid in the run game, obviously you know how Creed and Trey are. Josh Simmons, I would assume, is good enough in the run game as well as the pass protection just to be solid and you know,
he moves by, passable. So he'd probably be fine.
Would they, to get that, like how realistic is the 1,100 or the 1,200 scrimmage yards you guys are talking about?
He did it 2 years ago. They don't have to run the ball more. I think it's on short yardage, though, in general, whether it's him or Kareem Hunt, they have to get better in that particular area. But as far as in order for Isaiah Pacheco to be an all-purpose 1,100-yard back, they don't have to like run it, you know, 5 times more a game for that to happen. Or it doesn't have to be an increase. The yards, they just have to be more effective in their carries.
Yeah.
You know, that goes to Cody's yards per carry thing. I mean, I don't think anybody's asking Pacheco to be getting 25 carries a game or something like that. It's just got to be
you have to be effective with those carries, and a lot of that is going to be short yardage. If it's if they're comfortable and it's third and one, and I know Andy will still pass in those spots, but on third and one, am I picking up 3 yards? Am I picking up, am I getting stuffed in the line of scrimmage? Am I barely getting the yard? All of a sudden, if on third and ones you're getting 3 yards, that changes everything for you.
Absolutely, it does. And like I looked it up, Kareem Hunt led the NFL in rushing one year. To your point, Drew, like, hey, if they can run, why not run, right? Like, if they're really good at that, do it. Even in the year in which Kareem Hunt led the NFL in rushing yards, he was only sixth in attempts, and they still led the NFL in pass attempts. So, I'll be honest with you, Drew, probably not gonna,
The way that Andy runs his offense is unrealistic.
The league in run-pass ratio.
I did look it up. Okay. So, Isaiah Pacheco, and this is not receiving or anything.
All right.
If he averaged 65 yards a game for all 17 games, that puts him at 11.05. 65. So, to your point, if he gets 13 carries a game for 65 yards a game.
There you go.
I will say, looking at this list was a very stark reminder that how is Kareem Hunt still in the NFL? No one else who was in the rushing attempt yardage stuff with him during that time is in the NFL anymore. Here are the people who had more rushing attempts.
In 2018?
In 2017 when he led the NFL in rushing yardage. Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy, Melvin Gordon. Some of these guys have been retired for years.
What?
Todd Gurley, Jordan Howard for the Bears. And then the guys right below him were Leonard Fournette, Frank Gore, C.J. Anderson, Ezekiel Elliott, and Carlos Hyde.
That's a who's who of retired players or guys not on teams anymore.
Most of these guys aren't even anywhere near the league. That goes back to my original point. Pacheco is a massively important player for them on offense this year because they did nothing else at running back. Because their other running back, every other person he was in the NFL with a few years ago is retired. Which speaks to the state of the athleticism.
If Hunt has a normal backup running back role, and they're not at last year, the issue was they had to run him early when he got with the team. They had no choice. He wore out. If he's an actual number two running back and he's used like that, and you're only asking for a couple of carries a game, I think he can be actually very effective in that role. But when you start asking him to have 12 carries a game, that's when Kareem Hunt is going to wear out. And that's just not what he can do. But if I need 3 carries from him,
and it can be
effective carries. Four carries, I mean, I don't know what he's going to average this year.
If I need 7 and 3 or on third and one.
Yeah, I'm probably a little low at three. He's probably going to get 6, 6, 7, whatever. But that, to me, he can do throughout a season for 17 games.
Someone says 8-1-6. These are they think the lead backs, the ones who don't have any. Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Genty. John Taylor,
we have no idea about Genty,
Kyron Williams, Chase Brown. Genty's
going to carry the ball 70%.
James Cook and Genty should probably be added to the list. Kyron was in a timeshare last year.
Chase Brown was in a share last year
as well. Chase Brown was in a share last year.
And he will be again.
Yeah, so, I do think Genty will get over 70% of the team's kick. They are going to run Ashton Genty to the ground.
He's going to be the number one pick in every single dynasty fantasy draft this year.
Not number one, but he's going to be in the first. He's not going to be the number one pick.
In a dynasty. If you already have your established teams.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
In a league in which you're established and only the new players are available.
Gotcha.
Genty is going to get taken all over.
And gotcha. 100%.
I couldn't decide, man. I'm in one bigger fantasy league, in that 16-team league.
Uh-huh.
And you can pay to have extra keepers, and I have no sense of it. How is anyone? I stink at fantasy. I won this league, and I still feel like I'm terrible. I can't ever decide whether to pay to keep people. We need Paul Charge.
That's the fun of it. Charge will start being on our show next Thursday.
I paid to keep George Kittle in the third round because it's a 16-team league. 16-team league!
There's no tight ends. You don't have another tight end.
No. Oh. Do you know who people started tight ends? 16 teams? Do you know who started tight end in that league? It's pretty bleak. Start Noah Gray some weeks.
I mean, that's not a bad player to have. I mean, you're not going to get much.
Fantasy.
I mean,
yeah, but start... There's still 32 starting tight ends. I know people can have more than one, but
they're all bad pretty much after eight, six.
I mean, who has Evan Ingram? He's starting to be starting tight end in Denver. I think he's gonna have a nice year. Mm. Brendan Strange is a starting tight end in Jacksonville.
Maybe it was a bad decision, but I did it anyway. Okay. I kept Ladd McConkey because it's a PPR league.
Someone says they got Genty in round three last night, Cody.
Oh, I'm surprised. Well, in a straight normal league, that's not crazy.
Yeah. Next week, text line, you're asking about the Guillotine League. Next week, give a teaser. You're gonna have to go sign up via our individual, where it's not going to be a station. This is going to be just a Cody and an Alex and a Drew decide to do their own Guillotine League. That'll be next week.
In short, Odyssey's out of the Guillotine game, but Cody and Gold aren't, which means we won't be talking about it and how for you to sign up on this show.
That's right.
We will be telling you as normal citizens of the United States, as free people of social media.
Private citizens.
As private citizens, we'll be telling you on our social media channels how you may or may not find a collective group of other private citizens to be in a guillotine league together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So pay attention to that next week.
All right, I have a suggestion, then we can get some college football because I know Drew is going to
frothing at the mouth.
Just want to talk more college football.
So
which
excited.
It is college football week. We got KU, we got K-State this weekend. Obviously, K-State, Iowa State, and Ireland. KU first game at the new booth, taking on Fresno State. But I have a suggestion. Yesterday during the show, Cody mentioned that downstairs there's a bunch of like random items that somebody cleaned out from an office or something or a closet. Okay, and one of the items is a Hooters outfit.
It's correct.
From the restaurant. And it's like a retro one too. It's
and
not,
it's a Kansas City based. It's OP.
It says OP on it. And so it's the short shorts. It's the tank top or whatever. It's all that. And Cody said that Carrington and I should make a bet.
For MUK.
For
I thought that was nice.
That's a good bet.
And Carrington, bet. You said you already asked Carrington.
Carrington was a very quick no. And he also thought you would be a very quick
no. And I was a very quick no. Mm. I also don't want to do it for a college football game in September. So then we thought this morning more about it. I said, I'll tell you this. How about we do something that gets all three of us on this show involved and a guaranteed payoff? So the listener, again, depending on your viewpoint, it's a win or a lose.
It's a win.
So here's the deal. I want to see if you three, all three of us will agree. And Drew, I think, is the one that I have to convince. How about with all the talk about Kansas City and Cincinnati and mm-hmm. Drew thinking they're better than they are and all this, mm-hmm. the loser of this bet has to on the show wear that outfit for the full show, or in the case if Cody and I, because you and I are going to be on the same side of this bed, you and I would split 2 hours, 2 hours. If Cincinnati makes the playoffs for 2 hours, I have to wear it. For 2 hours, you have to wear it during the
Who
show.
Who gets to wear it first?
That's it. Maybe we have to do two in a day.
Could we have it? Could it be like 1 hour and 1 hour, and then Drew does 2 hours, second half of the show?
If Cincinnati misses the playoffs, Drew wears it for the full show.
All right. So before you say anything, Drew, if you watch on the video stream, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook,
I don't think
we live stream the show. I just want to show you the outfit.
Cody,
are you sure these are around your waist?
I don't think they're going to fit.
They're stretchy.
I don't think the tank top or whatever is going to, I think it's going to rip.
It is size.
Here, bring, let
hold
me
on,
see.
Hold let on, me let me see. It is size extra small.
There's no, Cody, it's going to rip. I'm going to put it around my neck and it's going to rip.
On the back it says delightfully tacky yet unrefined. It says Overland Park, Kansas City.
The good news is, Drew, when you lose your bet, it's going to fit you a lot easier than it fits Cody and I.
Yeah, you're the skinniest member of this show.
This is, I do think
no
it would
way,
fit.
There's no way. And on the back it says delightfully tacky yet unrefined. This needs to be washed too. This looks gross.
Yeah, it could use it.
It already ripped. Fantastic. It already has a rip.
Well, maybe somebody was cutting it because it didn't quite fit him in the chest area.
Can we just go buy a brand new version of this?
No, nah, it's way funnier to wear the tiny one.
It's not going to fit.
The shorts are going to be.
I would suggest
some personal grooming, and I would suggest you're going to need a second. And if you got to cut it down a little bit more to make it fit, so be it. And we'll wash it before. It is quite gross.
It'll fit, Drew. Drew, like, you lose the bet, it'll fit you just fine.
This thing looks like it was being used at Hooters when you could still like smoke in there. That's what I feel like is going on here.
So are you in agreement on this? If the Bengals miss the playoffs, you wear the Hooters outfit for 4 hours. If the Bengals make the playoffs, you'll obviously be having the time of your life anyway. But Cody and I will each wear the outfit for the show, half of the show.
I think there's one adjustment I want to make. On my side, I think it's fine. I think I'm ready to
do it. I don't think you're going to be able to adjust much in this this outfit, Drew.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I think instead of it being half the show, you each, one should wear it one show, the other one should wear it the next day on the show.
You think we should both have to wear it for the whole show?
Here's why I push back on that. Here's why
you guys have to do so as well.
Here's why, Cody.
Is it because the odds are too good for me? Is it because
you have better odds?
Here's why. Because the actual betting market says it is more likely for the Bengals to make the playoffs. They are minus money.
Okay.
They're plus money to not make it. Cody and I are technically taking the side of the bet that is less likely to happen based on the betting markets.
Okay.
So that would be my argument. Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Deal? Everybody in?
Deal.
All right, here we go.
I have reservations. Okay.
Oh, boy.
At least the only reason I'm accepting this is because I don't think the Bengals are a playoff team. I'll tell you this much. I pray they trade Trey Hendrickson this week. Please. I hope he ends up a New England Patriot.
Hang on.
Actively rooting for him.
It's going to be so bad. I'm going to have to...
Like honestly, it's if you weren't going to the gym already, Drew, hey, better start going.
It might already be.
Like, the end of the year.
I might have already agreed to it, but can we wait to see until he signs? Or, let's see if he signs or not.
No. The bet is today, right now.
Hang on a second.
You told me all along, Trey Hendrickson signing no matter what.
I think right now.
All right. Right now.
Let's go.
It's going to look really bad.
I am not. It's not going to fit.
I am not.
I think someone might have to.
It's gonna rip.
No, I think what's gonna happen. The first person that wears is gonna rip it, and you're if it's one of us. Well, if it's true and it rips, then it is what it is.
If it rips on the first person, then you have to do the like we'll get safety pins and you can put it back together.
This is so bad. That is gonna end up being like it's gonna wear like a bra, and the shorts are gonna be up.
If you don't want to wear for 4 hours, you can wear for 2 hours, but then you can wear to the gym and take one photo.
Hell no. No. I'll wear the full 4 hours.
What gym selfie?
Absolutely not.
Hang on. You give me one selfie of your reflection.
Drew said, let's go. If it rips,
then I don't think there's gonna be legs to this bet. If that rips,
there'll be a lot of legs showing.
If it rips,
yeah.
Then whichever one hasn't worn it yet, you have to take a shirtless selfie.
A shirtless selfie?
We're not amending. Yes. We already made the bet. We're not amending.
If it rips, I will mend it. I have a sewing machine.
Someone says Drew isn't on the stream often. No. That day, the stream will be on Drew. Don't worry.
Kind of when he dyed his hair.
I got the haircut.
All right. Well, everybody start getting in shape just in case.
This is going to be.
I'm already doing that. We're going to be good.
Yeah, we know. Thanks for the selfies.
We good, baby. Let's go. I'm confident in my team.
As much as I hate the Bengals, someone says it'd be way funnier if Cody and Gold end up having to wear the outfit out the Houday
with me then. You can be rooting for the Bengals as the season goes.
I'm not promising to say Houday.
This is not good.
Are we going to have weekly updates?
Well, we'll just know. I mean, we'll know by a certain point in the season, most likely, if they're like in December, if they already have 10 wins or something, they're off to a great, we already know they're a playoff. You know what I mean? So the bet is going to end up being executed probably in December or January.
I'm also absolutely not. I'm not going to go into the gym and take. It's not happening. Dusty said that's not part of it.
No, we already made the bet. It's on the show. The terms are finalized. This is over. It's locked in.
Let's go.
There would be serious consequences for anybody that tries to get out of this bet. Serious consequences.
What year do you think?
Financial penalties.
Let's go.
There's no getting out. The bet's locked in.
Going to be a problem. Shorts are going to be an issue.
I actually think
the shorts are the bigger part of the problem.
Yeah, I'm not worried about if your chest shows, the shorts are going to be up there. Those are going to be up there a little bit.
Yeah, you know, you just got to
be a little uncomfortable. Make sure you have some good support that day.
Eyes up. Don't wear them around Dusty.
Eyes up. He's going to be commenting on them all day.
Somebody says, you got to wear it week one of the playoffs. You can't risk you guys having to wear it on Radio Row.
No, the payoff will not be on Radio Row. The payoff will be an in-studio day.
That would be epic.
The thing you would have to put up in collateral on the other side if I had to wear that on Radio
Someone
Row.
Someone says Drew's going to be cold that day and he's going to be nipping.
Hold on. I'm not going to walk out in the middle of December.
I'm not even going to leave the studio. I'm just going to have to stay here the whole time.
And also, I'm not leaving my apartment complex with just a Hooters tank top and some shorts. I'm going to have a coat on in January.
Someone says Drew still owes us the McDonald's.
He does, that is true. Sometimes things take time.
Yeah.
Hang on a second.
He's not ducking it.
I'm not ducking it. Cody, it took you 2 years to get rid of the strip club thing.
I just defended you. Why are you attacking me?
No, I'm not attacking you. I'm saying two years later, you renegotiated.
That's true, I did.
I will say this. If the Bengals
there is, by the way, there is no renegotiating this.
This one, no.
There will be financial penalties if you can't get the shorts on. Well, then we have to find bigger shorts.
Okay.
We'll have to pause it. They have to be able to be put on.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know, man.
We'll see.
I don't know. Anyway, up next, 11 o'clock hour. Let's talk more about the Royals and some of the hurdles they have overcome. Plus, changes for Major League Baseball and how we consume the TV product could be on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.